On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is clear and has been for a long time. I want us to have a third party, a fourth party. We need an alternative to the monopoly offered up by the Democrats and the Republicans. And to me, they're just going further to the right and further to the left. And the 60-some percent of the centrists, the moderates, are saying, where can I go? Well, one party that's trying to get this done is the Forward Party. And the Forward Party's executive chair, Carrie Healy, is with us. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on. You are on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Carrie, give our audience kind of the fundamental core of what is the Forward Party.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for taking a stand around standing up for independent voters and independent candidates and the idea that there could be more than two parties. This is a wonderful thing to hear coming back at us because we have been working on establishing the Forward Party for the last 3 years. We have about 250,000 members who've opted in around the country, where we have organizations in more than 40 states, and we're on the ballot in 8 states, including Minnesota, and we have the Forward Independence Party in Minnesota. And so we are working really hard to make sure that independent candidates and Forward Party candidates have all the same resources that you'd see from Democrats and Republicans. That's our goal, because we think that's how more people can actually hear their voices expressed in our government.
So it's good to know where you're at, but let me just go back to that question again. Can you give me 3 or 4 bedrock principles, core issues, where the Forward Party stands right now, where independents and moderates like myself and others in our audience might say, hey, I hope this really builds, because those 3 or 4 are about where I'm at.
Well, I hope I can, and I think that's going to be easy, because instead of a policy platform, what we have is principles. And I think the principles that our party has embraced are ones that most Americans can get behind. First of all, we support our Constitution, and we believe in rule of law. We believe that law should apply to everyone equally. At all times, we believe that we should be able to work across the aisle in the best interest of our voters and our citizens. We believe in basing our policies on real data, on facts. And we also believe in respecting the dignity of the people who are participating in the public sphere. It's a real privilege and an honor and difficult to run for office. And we believe that the discussions that go on in the public domain should be more respectful than they are today. And we ask that of our candidates. And we also are looking for innovations and democracy that open up the vote to more people, more legal voters. We believe that everyone who has a right to vote should be able to vote and that their vote should count. So I hope there's something in there that resonates with you.
Let me look at a quote here, because the Forward Party – well, tell people where you're at in New Mexico as an example, and then I'll set up this point, because you are an established party in the state of New Mexico, correct?
I believe, yes, that's correct.
Yep. So, the party gained minority party status, ensuring its candidates will appear on the ballot. So one of the individuals who has launched this affiliate is a former state representative and a U.S. diplomat there named Bob Pearls.
Yes, Bob.
Here's a quote from Bob. We're not a centrist moderate party. Rather, in traditional liberal gerrymandered districts, probably the Forward candidates will be more liberal. In more conservative districts, especially in state House and Senate seats, our Forward candidates are probably going to be more conservatives. So we go back to what binds us, a commitment to democracy reform, like open primaries, mm-hmm. ranked choice voting, and independent redistricting, term limits free, and fair ballot access. Is there a concern that there's so much leeway now within the Forward Party that from state to state, from candidate to candidate, there's going to be a wider range of like principles compared to where people have a better idea and they know where Democrats and Republicans stand on issues, and it's tougher to pin down with the forward party candidates.
Well, there may be a wide range of issues that our candidates embrace, and they may trend more to the right or more to the left, depending on the state in which they are running. But the principles behind them are going to be the same. You're going to be able to trust that that person genuinely honors the Constitution and genuinely is data-driven and is respectful of others and wants to collaborate in the best interest of the people and their voters. And we respect that every community is unique, and what works in one community might not work in another. So I think that Bob has nailed it there. And what we are looking for is we're going around all the states, and I believe Minnesota, you know, fits into this category where one party dominates. I know my home state of Massachusetts, every single elected official is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a number of people who just feel excluded, and over 60% of the people in Massachusetts right now are independents. And so they don't often feel that the people who are presented to them on the ballot represent them, and they don't feel like they have a choice. Similarly, if you're out west, you might be in a state that is all Republican, and the Democratic Party has been completely marginalized. So the forward party candidate that comes in to try to fill that void somewhere in between the major party and the minor party, they may have a slightly different flavor to them or a slightly different character, but they're going to be being responsive to the will of the people in that state. And that's what we're really looking for.
Carrie Healy is with us from the forward party. She is their executive chair. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. For your party to take an even bigger jump when we look to 2028, I know a lot of people are still putting in a lot of work for 2026, but for the forward party to be discussed on a lot of talk shows, to be an even bigger factor in races all across the country, what must happen?
Well, I think, first of all, a lot of local races have to be won. And as you may know, you know, in Minnesota today, there was an announcement, there was a press conference that there was a coalition between Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and Ford Independents that of people who said, if you elect us, we will try to agree on as many things as we can to move legislation forward that is in the best interest of the people who have voted for us, and we'll disagree where we must, but our basic attitude will be one of cooperation. And I think that as more local folks are elected as Fordists, we have a number of mayors, for example, right now who are forward members because they feel that they can represent everyone by doing that. And I think you're going to get people more excited about this idea that government doesn't have to be a fight. It can actually be a problem-solving mechanism as opposed to, a group of people who point out problems in order to divide us as opposed to actually solving those problems to help us.
Joe Manchin, I know you're familiar with him, the former governor.
Yep.
And senator of West Virginia, and he stepped down, we're closing in on, probably a year and a half, a little more than that, and he now is working with his daughter, Heather, and is launching the Independent Leadership Council to support and elect independents across the country. Is he in any way a part of the forward party?
Well, we talk to them all the time, and he has been with us at some of our events, and we work with Heather constantly. We support independents, but we also cross-endorse some Republicans and some Democrats who we feel share our values but who aren't ready to leave their parties yet. And so I think that there's a slight difference of opinion between what we're doing, but not much, because we're supporting independent candidates for the House and the Senate across the country right now. We've got, for example, we've got Todd Achilles in Idaho, who's running with no one else in the race except for him and the Republican incumbent. We also have Brian Bangs, who's an independent running in South Dakota in the same situation. Seth Bodner out in Montana, who's doing very well as an independent candidate for U.S. Senate out there. If any of them get elected, they could be that pivotal vote in the Senate that decides almost every debate that is occurring. So we need to really understand how important it could be to have a few third-party candidates, a few independent candidates out there who could simply be responsive to what's best for America, as opposed to paying homage to their own parties constantly.
Kerry, I enjoyed the conversation. I will continue to pay attention because I want us to have other alternatives. I think this is leading us in the wrong direction, and I think more people need to be represented, more people need to be involved, and they need to have other options, and I hope you become a bigger factor. Thank you very much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and look into the Forward Independence.
Kerry Healy with this Forward Party Executive Chair. I want to react and get you to react to a tweet that I offered up. Speaking of politics, let's localize this now. We call it the Hauser poll on this show, right?
He runs the show.
Especially when it's not as accurate as expected.
Yeah, it feels good.
Then I love it. I love it when we call the Hauser poll. And I know a lot of people at the KSTP Survey USA poll, because Michael Lindell was leading and the Angie Craig, Peggy Flanagan race was a pick'em, where they're saying, it's meaningless. It's got a pretty good track record of their accuracy with the general election. As Thomas pointed out, they don't jump into primary races as much. And let's be honest, nobody saw Flanagan winning by 20. So the other day, the KSTP poll comes out in a number of races where, like, Flanagan's up by 5 on Tafoya. But in the governor's race, and this is what we're going to talk about right now, Klobuchar leads Damuth by 16. That's an enormous lead, Dave. That is an enormous lead to overcome. So let's cut it in half. Let's say it's 8 points, okay? If you're advising Lisa Damuth today, she brings you on to her campaign for the next month, and she's not going to follow everything you say, but she's going to listen. You're going to be in all the meetings. And you're saying, Lisa, you need to do A, B, and C to not only close the gap, but to take the lead. What does Lisa Damuth need to do to pull off, which would be a spectacular upset, to beat Amy Klobuchar? What does she need to do? I'm curious what you have to say. Phone calls encouraged. Text work also. 651-461-9226. You know another way that Aquarius Home Services helps you? Repairs. Now, this is also repairs if you don't have all Aquarius products at your house. I hope you do. I hope you switch. By the way, if you switch with a water softener right now, trade in your old one for a new one, how about $500 off? How about also with Aquarius, maybe it's that Kinetico drinking water or whatever water system you have, your air conditioner or something with the HVAC situation is not working. That stinks. You reach out to AquariusHomeServices.com and they're going to give you $98 off from that repair. They are trying to reach out to you at your home, your condo, your cabin, and help you and bring you on to this uber successful company, and I've been a customer since 1993. They are the best. Reach out to Aquarius today, AquariusHomeServices.com.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the texts, Lisa Damuth in the KSTP poll down 16. So let's cut a date. Okay. Let's say it's not a true accurate portrayal where the race is at. 8's still a lot to overcome against a candidate who's extraordinarily well known, who has won every race she's run since 1998. Let's point out, she hasn't faced a who's who of candidates.
It's been a who's who.
Yeah.
Not of great
That's
candidates.
Fair. Who? Who is that? There was no Norm Coleman. There was no Tim Pawlenty. There was no Arnie Carlson. Nobody who was like a Republican established. I mean, if you're saying Mark Kennedy is the toughest one, come on. Nice guy, but very quiet. Hadn't established himself that much. She's been blessed by some of the candidates. But, and her popularity's dropped a little bit, as divided as the country and state have. So she's not at the peak of her powers. And she's been in this mix and office, as I just said, since 1998. So what does she have to do? Let's go to caller right away, because I'd love more calls. 651-461-9226. Jeff has called in. Jeff, thanks for listening. You're on CCO.
Thanks for taking my call. So as a experienced campaign manager, all about 5 minutes when I started thinking about this, I decided that...
Congratulations, by the way, Jeff.
Oh, it's a hard job. I'm turning my resignation in tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think what she needs to do is she needs to go back to Republican principles, like what Goldwater and Eisenhower wanted, which was like strong unions and a good education, and try to get rid of the military-industrial complex, like get us out of this war, you know. And she really needs to work hard for rural Minnesota to bring jobs and small towns back. You know, big cities, you know, I get it. They can take care of themselves, though. There's so much entrepreneurs here that will generate the jobs, but she really has to become like the 1950s Democratic farmer labor candidate, really.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. And you're fired, by the way. You've lost the job now. That is the dilemma. We'll let Jeff go. That is the dilemma, Dave, because plenty's coming in, separate from Trump, and I get that. Okay. And he's not popular in this state. Anybody who says he's popular in this state, you're wrong. Just look at all the polling. Much more popular in 16. I mean, that was a very close race. Donald Trump is not popular across the country right now. Now, within the Republican Party, yes, he is. Okay? Not with independents, though. The enormous drop for Donald Trump with center-right folks right now is staggering. And if any Republican was going to defeat Amy Klobuchar, you got to get the moderates. You just do. Now, you can't turn off the juice of your own party. And MAGA still is a factor in this state. It's just not as prominent as it is in other states. So how does she walk the line of not so ticking off Donald Trump, in particular, in MAGA, but also appealing to folks who are sick and tired of Tim Walz, sick and tired of the trifecta, sick and tired of the regulations, sick and tired of how overtaxed the state is? Because me, I'm sick. We're way overtaxed. We have too many regulations. The trifecta went way too far. Walz wasn't accountable enough in the fraud. They should have been more involved in stopping it. And he won't take enough accountability in any way. How does she walk that line? Because, and she's going to join us at the fair, and these will be some of the questions I ask her. Because she was asked again in the last 24 hours about Operation Metro Surge and other ways where she would separate from Trump. And she's like, I'm only worried about Minnesota. I'm worried about fraud and education. And we've had Lisa on this show a number of times. And she's clearly a very intelligent person who can give long answers, but on specifics, sometimes she stays incredibly disciplined or frustrating, however you look at it, in not answering certain questions. I think she's going to have to find a way, though, to further separate from Trump, or else she's done. She's not going to get the folks who honestly might have voted for Barack Obama in 12 and Donald Trump in 16. She's got the hardcores. Klobuchar has got the hardcore Democrats, and she consistently wins with the moderates. If you don't get some of those moderates, you're done.
James Carville once said, it's the economy, stupid, right?
Yeah.
We know that, and we know it to be true. People vote so often with their wallets. I don't think she can beat Amy Klobuchar by taking shots at Amy's record, at her just as a candidate.
Yep.
But I think if you can convince enough people in the middle, that we need just a change in party. We need a different look at things. We need to, number one, put a Republican in the governor's office to take down fraud.
Yep.
Say, you know, the DFL.
Different
has,
approach.
Yes, say the DFL has had their chance and they have failed on fraud.
And she's beaten this into the ground. We know that.
Absolutely. And they have to continue to do that. That's the biggest hammer they have.
Yep.
But you can also talk about where the state budget is at. You can talk about what the economy is right now in Minnesota. You can talk about this, you know, overspending, whatever it is that you can convince people that, no, this isn't right. What the DFL did with the trifecta, what we have seen now with a run of Democrats in the governor's office,
mm-hmm.
needs to change.
Yeah.
And Amy isn't going to be the one to do it. If you can convince enough moderates, yeah, you got a shot. Absolutely you do. Because, as I said, as James Carville said, it's the economy, stupid.
The tough part of the economy, though, is a lot of people, rightfully so, are going to say, well, Donald Trump's now been president. We're getting near 2 years from the election, but like so 19, 20 months since he took over. And in many relatable areas of life, the economy's worse. Just is. Inflation, and I know with Joe Biden, it was 9 points. That was awful. Plenty of it was COVID-related. Plenty of it was he put too much money into all of our pockets, by the way. But when Joe Biden left where inflation was to now, it's higher. groceries, affordability, still a major issue. Mm-hmm. The war hasn't helped. Nope. And in an off-year election for any president in power is a tough one to overcome. Like, I think that press conference was yesterday where she brought out a list of press releases from 22 to 25, kind of when Feeding Our Future really ratcheted up. And Damath is saying there wasn't one release from Klobuchar talking about fraud in this state.
And I think then, obviously, we know what the national economy is with inflation, with what the war has done. She's in a spot to say, look, I was Speaker of the Minnesota House. I was a member of the Minnesota legislature. That's not on me. I don't agree. She could even say, I did not agree with going to war. I didn't like what that was going to do to oil prices, to commodity prices, all of that. And say, look, I can't control as a governor, as a candidate, what the national economy is going to be like. But I can, as Minnesota's governor, put more money in your pocket by cutting taxes, by reducing spending, et cetera.
Good points. Let's read a lot of text here. Personally, I tune out when they blame the other candidate for all the problems, especially when they themselves were elected officials. What are their solutions for our issues? What are they going to do going forward? More text. If I was advising Lisa, I would ask the public, what has Amy done that made your life better the last 20 years? Accusing Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault without evidence shows how she operates also. To say there was no evidence on Brett Kavanaugh, or to say Brett Kavanaugh handled himself perfectly during that hearing, is an area where I dramatically disagree. She has to research Klobuchar's voting record and see how effective she was during her tenure. More, if I was advising Damath, I would strongly suggest backing off the political ads. Lisa needs to define Amy as exactly who she is, a third Walls term. She also needs to advertise the Metro and needs to break out ads. Why are people so convinced Klobuchar is just Walls 3.0? Because if you think she's going to be like the trifecta when Walls has moved further left, I just disagree. Now, she's not going to turn into Tim Pawlenty 1.0 and 2.0. But the idea that Walls and Klobuchar are the exact same, I don't think it holds up, but I don't fault her for trying that.
I think that's just a symptom of, if you're a diehard Republican, you believe all Democrats are alike.
Exactly.
Just the opposite if you're a Democrat.
Lisa needs to take income tax off Social Security. Let's see. Chad, why don't you want Klobuchar? She's a mainstream moderate you've been asking for. When did I say I didn't want her? The question on the table is, if you're Lisa Damoth, how do you win this race? How many years was Lisa Damoth of St. Paul never brought up the fraud, even in the minority? She could have been pounding on it. Well, our guy Maddle, when he was running, and I wish he was in the mix, he made the point, too, that to say this is only on walls and the Republicans there had no chance to do anything, I think that's a little naive. Clearly more is on walls. I agree with that. But if you're in positions of authority, and Damoth wasn't the Speaker of the House the entire time, but if you're Republicans, and we know the fraud goes back even further, it just went up, skyrocketed once that money was out there, and there were not enough checkpoints in any way, okay? But if you're a Republican there, can you just say, I was there, I was in a position of power, and I have no accountability? I'm not sure that holds up with all the moderates. Your plan and God's plan, I'm done with that idea. Let's discuss in moments.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Your plan. God has a plan. You only get what God believes that you can handle. Get out of here with all of it. I do believe there's a supreme being. And I respect that people have different wishes. And I respect that you are fully fledged, fully allowed, and can disagree with me on any point, including this one. But when I watch what happens to kind, sweet, caring individuals on the daily, and you're telling me that we're just chess pieces and that God is just moving us around, and you think we have free will, but we really don't. Let me tell you about my Monday night and why I wasn't here Tuesday. My son Quentin, who is my hero, everything he faces, the light he brings, the light he brought to the suite the other day when so many CCO employees were so kind to him and he was so kind to them, and this rare genetic disorder that he battles and the surgeries he has, and now he has a major swallowing challenge within his life that is enormous. And he had his first seizure in a long time the other day. And he is sitting in these chairs where we moved, and I made sure these chairs would have armrests. So if, God forbid, the seizures came back, he would not fall hard. And we were sitting there. He just had his medicine. It's a Monday night. Guess what Quentin wants to do? He wants to watch wrestling. The amount of wrestling I've watched because of Quentin is staggering.
Don't blame the boy. You love it.
Ah, not as much. I could take doses. And I said, Quinn, we're at half. We'll watch the rest tomorrow. I go, I'm going to grab something here. I'll let you finish up with some laptop, but get your pajamas on, brush your teeth, get ready. And I throw something away. I turn the corner. And as I start to walk up the stairs, I look, because normally he's with me, and I turn around. And he's having a seizure. And he bangs his head very hard into the table where he's sitting, where I was sitting right next to him, and just got up after saying, let's get out of the chair. And he is seizing violently. And he's in a high chair. And I'm going over there and thinking, it's been a long time. Our hope that he'd grown out of these seizures is over. And I have to now get him, as he's in the middle of a significant seizure, flailing, potentially hurting himself more, out of this chair down to the floor without restricting him so much, and while bringing his head down to the floor and watching his legs, because I can't take him because it's in a spot in our house where there's kind of couple tables. and seeing my son, as I've watched him dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, dozens of times seize, where he used to be weekly, seeing it again caused me to cry while I'm trying to comfort the most amazing person that I believe will ever walk the planet. And I get, I am 100% biased. I hope you feel the same way about all your, and I trust me, I will walk through fire for Hunter and Griffin. And my feelings for Mike are right about the same. Quentin is just, everything's had to overcome. He just has a special place in our hearts, and just watching him and going through this. And seeing his nose where we still don't know if it's broken because we need the swelling to go down. And that's Monday night when I chatted with Kathleen, my ex-wife, or when we texted, and he was still sound asleep late into this day because it wipes him out so much. And so now these are back, and this enormous swallowing issues, and there are two very important people in my life who are battling significant health issues themselves. So I just want people to accept that we have a life, and if you believe in God, great. If you don't, that's fine also. But when the folks who believe that there is this specific plan, I'll just tell you, there was somebody in my life who I met through his profession who I become very friendly with. In about 5-6 years, when these seizures were happening weekly, told me, well, God has picked you, and God only gave you this challenge because he knows you can face it. And I walked out of there, and I knew I'd never see this person ever again professionally. I would find someone else. Because I don't believe God gave my son seizures, become an epileptic, to have this genetic syndrome where he's outlived, and there's not many people have it, but he's outlived hundreds who have this. God doesn't cause 2-year-olds to have cancer. God doesn't cause some family to get shot and killed. There is a world that is created that has evil in it, and I agree with that. But how can you justify that there's this plan when it's somebody in your life whose life is incredibly cruel or ends soon? And I'm not telling you not to believe in God or punishing you if you don't. But for me, forcefully stop with this plan. You watch my son seize. You listen to what's happening to when he's drinking and where it's going and where it should go and what that could happen to his life. And you tell me there's God's plan. Get out of here with that. I want texts and calls. Agree with me, disagree with me. It's not the first time I've said this. It won't be the last. And I'm not trying to stop you from your beliefs. You get to wholeheartedly disagree with me. This is a show where we're supposed to be passionate and strong and believe in what we say and be open when people disagree. That doesn't mean I then have to agree with you, but listen to your ideas when they're provided with respect. 6-5, and if anybody's going to take a cheap shot at my kid, you're going to be booted so quickly because it's happened before. If that's your way to somehow attack my child right now, let's say this really clearly. Go to hell. Okay? 651-461-9226. So a number of very kind and informative texts. We're about to take calls and read texts. But, Dave, just tell the audience what the first caller had to say when I said this about my son and the challenges he faces.
I hate to even give them the satisfaction of people knowing, but the first call I picked up gave the most insulting baby crying sound that, you know, an adult would make. Boo-hoo, wah, wah, wah. It was...
How lonely is your life?
That's really sad.
And how lacking character are you when you're hearing about a young man who's having issues and thinking about other people who have issues when that's your default? Disgusting. Dan has called it. Dan, Thanks for listening. Go ahead. You're on CCO.
Hi, Chad.
Hello, sir.
You know, my heart breaks for you and
Thank
your son.
You.
I'm very sorry. And anybody that loves God would say that. And it's absolute foolery to the point of wickedness that people, and even Christians, who believe that God controls everything, is insanity. If he controlled everything, he wouldn't have had to come and die for all of us.
We'd have peace everywhere. We'd have respectful individuals. You know, there are tens and tens of millions of people across the globe who are suffering. And the God I believe in is a loving, kind, respectful one.
Yeah.
And if that God could control things, you wouldn't have what we hear about in our family and friends all the time.
It's a long discussion that requires humility and open-mindedness to look at what the Bible actually says about how things came about to be the way they currently are, and that God has a plan, and that plan is a new heaven and a new earth where there's no more sorrow. That's the plan of God.
Dan, I always...
Any pastors won't even debate me on it because they're so wrapped up in stupid religion about man, you know, but I won't get into that. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I appreciate calling, and we got a lot of calls, a lot of texts. Have a great day, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Dave has called in. Dave, you're on WCCO.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what you said absolutely nails it. My daughter was paralyzed from the shoulders down in 2005, and countless times you've heard people say, God only gives this to people that can handle it. And I just want to say that's one of the most stupid, idiotic, insensitive, careless things a person could say if they think they're being godly saying stuff like that. It's just... It burns me up. Maybe God did that so it would support the wheelchair industry. Maybe God did that so he could support more people in the hospital. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous to think such a thing.
Can you just stay for a second? I don't know how I could agree more with what you said, David. First of all, I'm incredibly sorry that this happened in 2005, and I in any way possible wish that wouldn't have happened. But the idea that somebody says it, you think, you know, Dave is so strong and is of such character that we're going to paralyze his daughter because Dave can handle that. Who are these people who think they should say that to you? I mean, it's just repugnant.
They're the same ones that the spouse will complain to the other about how their lawn was cut. I mean, go walk through Gillette Children's for about 5 minutes.
Yes. Oh,
open your stinking eyes.
Thank you. Best to you and your family.
We're saying bad things to you have absolutely zero challenges in their life like that. It just really cooks me when I hear people say that stuff. So sorry for that, but I really, really greatly appreciate what you said.
I feel the same about you also. Let's read a few texts and we'll get to Linda here in a second. Chad, my heart bleeds for you and Quentin. I'm very conservative Christian. I don't believe this is God's plan. I believe it's a result of all and sins in the world. Please know I'll have you and your family in my daily prayers. Thank you so much. My wife also suffers with seizures. It's the most horrible thing I've ever seen. It breaks my heart every time. I cry like a baby. I'm crying right now thinking about it. Totally agree, Chad. The pastor at Fletcher Merkel's funeral told his parents that what happened was never part of God's plan. People who say that are wrong. There are so many more texts. And let me say again, there are tens and tens of millions of individuals who have stronger challenges than Quentin has. And I acknowledge that because we've been in so many hospitals. We're around other kids who have intellectual delays that are worse than Quentin. Quentin has DIRK 1A. The number of times we'll get an alert where fill in the blank has died. And that's why every time I walk in and I get Quentin in the morning, and when his eyes don't instantly wake up, when I walk in there, I get scared that something happened. Because I know his life expectancy isn't as supposed to be as long as a lot of ours. And I hope he exceeds it by infinity. So I'm trying to acknowledge, I'm just sharing my story and know so many people are in my category and in a worse category. Linda, thanks for calling. We got about a minute here. You're on CCO.
Hi, Chad. I agree with you 100%. I feel badly for your son. You know that Pat and I do. And people used to say to me, well, you couldn't have children because you can handle it. That never did anything for me. I don't believe God's in control of things. I agree 100% with you. We're with you, and we love you.
Linda, it's great to hear from you. Say hi to Pat, and thank you so much for reaching out.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I really appreciate when people say kind things about Quentin. I mean, Quentin, we were done having kids, you know, and my life professionally was headed in such a different way. I was going to broadcast Arizona Cardinals games. I was going to keep broadcasting afternoons forever on the Fan. And you know what? Thank God that IUD didn't work, because it's the greatest moments of my life when Hunter and Griffin and Quentin came into my life. Let's pause.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.